God has a plan for me. I thought that was a fitting song for this sermon tonight because, again, I gave y'all a little hint that this message was inspired by a recent event that has transpired. Some of you got a, if you want to call it a mini version of the song, because I kind of talked a little bit about it on Facebook. It lasted about 17 minutes, but then when I looked at it and listened to it again, and a lot of my messages on Facebook, when I do listen to it, you know, also, you know, start thinking, uh-oh, what's going on here? We got computer problems? Let me see. How about 1, 2, 3? Can anybody hear me? Oh, okay, well, I got computer problems. Okay, so, all right, let's see. All right, how about now? Can you hear me? All right, well, apparently I was not plugged in all the way. So, okay, so, well, we're going to start this all over again. It's going to be a little bit longer recording. But, again, I kind of lost train. But those of you who are on Facebook, poor Lisa, like she's starting to have some computer problems. And as always, Satan wants to get into this, and he wants to mess it up. You know, as always, that's how Satan operates. Because, you know, Lisa can tell you a lot of times when we did these sermons, you know, the Bible bot would mess up or something else would mess up. So, you know, here we go with my microphone. Here we go. She's having computer problems. So I feel sorry for her, but she's going to actually be posting scriptures. So when she gets in, she's not going to know where we're at. But with that, we're still going forward. Like you, those of you who's going to listen to this later on online, if you are connected to my Facebook, y'all seen a mini version of this message, and it was about 17 minutes. And like all my messages, the Bible lessons, and yes, even my sermons, I do re-listen to them. I do. I had an old pastor who told me, he said, Jim, it's always best for you to criticize your own sermons. You know, it's always best to re-listen to it because you can learn, you can hone in, you can sometimes see some of the mistakes that you made. And that's what I do all the time. I re-listen to my messages all the time. But for those of you who are listening to this message, and I'm talking about the online listeners, those of you who are live, you're hearing it now, but those who listens to this message later on, and like I said, those of you who are alive, many of you knew from the reports that my wife, she's been battling shingles. And those of you who knows what shingles is, it's not a pleasant thing. You know, everybody I talk to about this shingles, they say it is horrific. It's horrible. You don't want to deal with it. It's the worst pain possible. And, you know, and I heard people say this in the past, and I seen the commercials about shingles shots and this and that, and never giving it thought, oh, okay, well, you know, okay, whatever. That's how I used to think about it. Boy, but let me tell you, it hit close to home when Sherry got it. And y'all seen the pictures. It started out with a bunch of little blisters. And I mean, it went all to her face. It's all in the scalp. It swole that eye shut. It got inside the eye. And eventually, it got behind the eye. And it traveled all the nerves going towards the brain. And let me tell you something, folks. I empathize with those people who get shingles. I'm telling you, it's wow. And I was watching Sherry as she was dealing with it. And man, look, she was suffering. She was suffering. She was even crying. She was even making comments, I wish I would die. And man, look, that was hurting me. That was hurting me watching that dear girl suffer. And I so badly just wanted to reach out and just take all that pain away from her and put it on me, let me suffer. And it was hard. And during this process, she and I, we both were asking God, why? Why, God? And I was constantly, and y'all heard me preach to y'all many times over. You go back and listen to many of my messages, you know, when we ask God why, you know, okay, it's okay to ask God, but we should know the why. We should know the reason. We should understand these things. We're Christians. We're followers of Christ. And a lot of times, you know, I sit here in this chat room, or I sit in Facebook, or I sit with a real-time conference champ counseling in Zoom. And I usually try to walk people through scriptures and let them know, hey, God's got this covered. Boy, but now I really started thinking, Lord, why? And I started asking why again with Sherry. I mean, she was hurting. She was in pain. It took some strong opioid pain killers. And I was worried about that because those things are highly addictive. To knock her out so at least she can get some rest. And I asked the question, God, how could someone suffer so much that loves you very much? That girl loves you. She loves you with all her heart. You know, and I do have to brag on Sherry because, you know, folks, I see the loving heart that she has. She serves the Lord faithfully. She doesn't complain. She's a giver. She loves to teach. She works with kids. I mean, she truly is sold out for God. And I'm wondering, well, God, why are you letting her suffer? And my mind went to thinking and started thinking about Jesus. He suffered on the cross. He went through many things. He told his disciples, hey, you're going to suffer too. And yet we're going to suffer tribulations and trial. But then I was thinking, yeah, but you know what, God? Couldn't you just snap your fingers and take all that away from people who loves you? But my mind went right back to him and started thinking, okay, God has a plan for all of us. Those of you who are here tonight, God has a plan for you, folks. God has a plan. Those of you who's listening to this online, God has a plan for you. You may not understand it. You may not get it. You may wonder, okay, what's going on? But God has a plan for you. See, the fact that God has a plan for your life is well-meaning, but often falls a bit flat to me whenever I am faced with the reality of life. The same should apply to us. You know, we know that he has a plan, but then, you know, when we trust God, it seems like whenever we are faced with the real reality of life, it falls flat because we slip. Mess up, boo-boo, things happen. But yet, we have to dig deep within our hearts and say, okay, look, we're not perfect beings. We all make mistakes. things do happen, but ultimately, God has a plan. See, it doesn't change what I am. Still, in the middle of, and to be honest with y'all, we all know God has plans. God has a plan. He created the universe. Actually, He created everything. Certainly, folks, with Him creating all this and knowing everything, He's mindful of your life and mine. He cares about everyone. And in light of this, my mind searched and my heart wondered. I kept praying and I kept asking God, what is the purpose in all of this? God, what is the purpose in all of this? And during this whole time praying, meditating, searching the Word, and watching my wife suffer, four words kept coming back to my mind. Four words. It kept coming back to that mind over and over and over. Every time I go back and look at scriptures, every time I ask God, okay, God, why? Every time I pray, help her, do something, do this, do this. Those four words kept coming back to me, folks. And those four words were, God has a plan. So in light of all this, we both accepted it. I accepted it. My wife accepted it. And we were trusting in His plan and a purpose in all of this. I want to emphasize with you before I go a little further, those of you who are here right now, whatever is happening to you, good or bad, God cares. God has a plan. We may not see it. We may not understand it. At times it may be very difficult for us. But let me tell you something, folks. Trust in God because His plan is good for you. Now you may say, well, Jim, I understand the situation. I understand the battle that you're in. I understand the difficulty. And yes, we're facing with difficulties. This shingles thing was horrible. And we come to accept that God has a plan. Then when it got behind the eye, we got a little bit, you know, worried and nervous. But we walked out of the office and we both looked at each other and said, okay, God has a plan. Then she gets hit with a bombshell, the businesses that where she works is possibly being sold out, and now her job is going to be in question. My heart sunk. Lord, with all this, now this, but God has a plan. And that's what this message is all about. It brought me to thinking, what is His plan for us? What is His plan for you and I? What is His plans for all those who trust Him and follow Him? And this, to me, my friends, led to this question. Does God have a plan for each of our lives? Does God have a plan for each of your life or lives? Does He? And if so, how often does He reveal it to you? Do we hear Him and discern His voice from others? Do we? You see, the verse that many Christians think of whenever they are going through things with the regard of His plans, like the song that we just listened to, was Jeremiah 29:11. Look what it says. And I like this passage, folks. I really do. I love it. He says that, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, it might be argued, you know, what scholars and philosophers and theologians and, you know, and Bible scholars and everyone else, it might be arguably that this verse probably and most properly in its true content, in which it is, speaks of the nation of Israel and not of any individual. More so, it was just more for Jeremiah. He was talking about Israel. But yet, Christians rightly connect to this, to God's relationship with believers under the New Testament. So I will say, yes, that verse is implied to Israel, and the content does point to Israel. But could it apply to us? Could it? If God knows us and He has a plan for us, I want to say yes. We can apply it to ourselves and trust that God has a plan for us. Yes, it was for Israel. Yes, it was for Jeremiah, because he was speaking to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was speaking to the people of Israel. But again, can we apply that verse to us? And I would say yes. Because one thing for sure, my friends, one thing for sure to say, that God has a plan is completely true. It is. He is sovereign and all-knowing. And this means, even if you look at Psalms chapter 139, I suggest to you, when you get time, go read that entire chapter. Psalms chapter 139. Read it whenever you get time. Spend some alone time and read it, and you will see. You will see the plan involved. And seeing each day was planned before one of them came to be. Each day was planned before one came to be. Because God knows everything. He already knew your poor mistakes. He already knew when you were going to sin. He already knew when you was going to fall down. You see, folks, that does not surprise God. God knows we're going to fall short. God knows your choosing of the sin that you're going to do. I bet you hadn't thought about that one, but He does know. He knows when you're going to do it. And the consequences that will come because of these rebellious choices. A lot of times, the sins that we actually do is the choice that we made to do the sin. And yet, we're going to have to pay for it. Payment comes due. I'm sorry to say it like this, but the truth is, folks, whenever we do sin, there are consequences of those sins, and we're going to have to pay for it. But God still has a plan for you. He has already planned how to bring good out of our rebellion. He already planned that. He has plans how to do good out of the faltering sins that we did. How to bring you closer to Him through your sins. And yes, even in His plans, He knew. He knew which trials that you and I are going to endure. He knew. For many of us, we actually seek to know God's plans because at some point we have made decisions, or we got decisions to make. And sometimes, like us and others, they don't want to make them. They don't want to make them badly. They just don't want to. More so that we are seeking direction as we should in decisions. So we want to know God's plans. God, I want to know your plans for me. Tell me what it is, please, so that way I know I would not make the mistake. I would do wrong. I would sin. Please, could you tell me? And sometimes, does God tell you the plan? No. You can search scriptures till the cows come home. You can talk to pastors like me till the cows come home. You can talk to friends like me to try to figure out, okay, what is his plan for me? And sometimes God will not reveal it to you. But he has a plan. We all want to know his plan for us, don't we? I sure do. But let me say something there. Is something of what I call a category of error involved here? When the Bible speaks of God's plan, it relates to the sphere of his sovereignty and not to the sphere of our responsibility. You get that? The Bible speaks of God's plan because it relates to the sphere of his sovereignty and not to the sphere of our responsibility. God never tells us to figure out what his secret plan is. He never tells us that. We do, however, have quite a bit of knowledge about God's will. We do. We understand some of it. Not in terms of details for our lives, but in terms of what obedience to him demands. God's will is that we should obey his word. That's his will. We should obey. Trust and obey. That's his will for us. That we should glorify him in all things, like me and Sherry did this morning. We got in the car after we got those results. We held hands. We prayed and gave God the glory. And we prayed and given God the glory in the midst of the suffering. I was telling someone here the other day in the chat room, and they kind of were dumbfounded. Well, Jim, I don't get why you say that we should give glory and give thanks to God when we suffer. That don't sound right. Why not? We should. We should thank him when we suffer. But a lot of times we don't. We're always focused on the good. We're never focused on the whole plan. We should be giving God praises and thanks all the time, not sometime, not when things are going hunky-dory. It should be all the times, good and bad. The things that we should be doing, most of all, we should love him with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our strength and love the neighbors as yourself. That should be our primary focus to understand his plan. That is God's plan for your life, my friends. So far as your responsibility is in view. That is your life. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Showing love, demonstrating it, loving your neighbors, living your life for him, and accepting the plans that happens to you in your life. If you got your Bibles, we're going to read our reading scriptures for tonight, which is chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And we read this verse a couple of weeks ago in another message, and that's why I was brought back to this scripture again. And I love it. Look what it says. And I'm sure of this, that he who begun a good work in you will bring it to completion of the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you again for your sovereignty and your plan that you have for us in our lives. There are times that, hey, look, we may not understand it. There are times we don't get it. Got a lot of times that we are frightened by it. A lot of times when things do happen, we get a little bit afraid and we get a little bit worried. And we kind of act like scared children. But that's what we are, children. What we need to do is take a deep breath. Sit back and trust your plan. Now, it's easy for me to stand here before you, Lord, and say this. But then when you test us, that's when the real faith comes in. And it is difficult. I'm not going to stand here and preach to these folks and pray this prayer to you and say, hey, you know, it's easy. We got it. We trust it. We're going to live with it. No, Father, it's not. It's not easy. But we're going to trust it. And we're going to live for you. And we're going to follow your plan. Give us the strength, the courage, the wisdom we need. Show us what we need to do. Forgive us of our sins where we have fallen short. Thank you for your mercy. And I ask you to bless those who are here tonight. More could have been here, should have been here, but you know, again, that's in your hands, that's your plans. You're going to handle it. So I ask you to bless them and be with them and help them for this short little time. And Father, yes, we make mistakes, but I'm sure glad that you don't hold that against us. Ooh. Thank you again for your love, your mercy, and your kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And y'all know the title of this message. The four words. God has a plan. God has plans. He does. From the very beginning when he created this world, he had a plan. For day and night, heavens and earth, land and sea, sun and moon, bird and fish, animal and humans, he always had a plan. Always. Just four verses into his word, the Bible. Four verses into his word in Genesis chapter 1, we see that he likes his plan. He calls it good. Indeed, near the end of creation, he calls his plan very good. His plan is good because of the purpose it will serve. It is good because the hope it will give. It is good because the lives it will save. But really, it is good simply because of God who calls it so. Creation had only to be created for it to be called good. But still, God has plans. He has them for you. He knew the span of your life long before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He knows the hairs on your head, which right now I ain't got too many. The thoughts in your mind. And the hours that you will live here on this earth. He knows when you're going to die. We don't. But he does. He will not leave such attention to detail merely to chance. Nope. Things ain't operating by chance. Everything is operating by his sovereign plan. God has plans for you, folks. They're good. You might get mad and upset. Well, Jim, how can you say good whenever there's a lot of evil going on, or good when there's a lot of bad happening to me in my life? Folks, I'm sorry, but God has a plan in all things. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. You can look at that. That's Romans chapter what? 8, verse what? I heard somebody say 28. 8:28, folks. God has a plan. God has a plan. And Christians often wonder if God has a specific plan for their lives. I do. I wonder about that a lot. Where they will live. What if their life's work would be. What are they going to do? what their future's going to look like? Sure, you know, we got those thoughts. And the Bible clearly teaches that God knows those things also. And the question therefore becomes, how do I know God's plan? How do I know God's plan? The answer is that you do not know God's foreordained plan for the details of your life. At least you don't get to know it in advance. You get to get some glimpse of it. You get some insight of it, but you don't get to know all of it. But he knows. He knows. See, even the Apostle Paul, he tells us, even in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, look what he says. Paul says this, and I like this passage. And he says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, for faith, as it is written. The righteous shall live by faith. Faith. We have faith in his plans. We live by faith. Faith in him. Other words, what it boils down to, not knowing what God's plan is. We live by faith, not knowing what God's plan is. Do I know what his plans is for me in the next 30 minutes from now? Well, I should hope so, because I'm probably still going to be preaching. But what about afterwards? What about the next few hours? What about tomorrow? If tomorrow comes, do I know the plans? No. I live for today. And I hope that whatever his plan is, he reveals it to me as we live day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Now, I will say this much for you. I will say, in our journey through life, out of the rearview mirror, we can often discern God's plan. At times, we can often discern his plan for us. We can. If you're very sensitive to the Spirit and you're studying the Word and you're fellowshipping the Word and you're constantly having your prayer relationship and you're doing many other things, but you're trying to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you only whenever it's necessary and needed. And although probably not as much or as clearly as we think at times when we're looking at that rearview mirror. Because we're always looking out of the windshield, not looking back. But we're looking at that rearview mirror to see what's behind us. You see, folks, out of the windshield, when we look outwards, it's all by faith. When you're dealing with things in your life, it's all about faith. Listen carefully to these passages I am about to speak to you, please. I'm trying to help you understand, you know, whenever we are faced with many things in our lives, whenever we are having difficult times, whenever we slip and fall, whenever we do boo-boos, whenever it just seems like your world is coming upside down, when it just seems like everything is coming at you. And this is how me and my wife's been feeling too. And that's why these scriptures come close for me. Because in reality, I want to know God's plan. Do I know his plan? No. Do I understand some of it? Yes. But I trust him, even though it scares me and it frightens me. When I hear of these things, you know, diseases and pain and suffering and possible loss of jobs, and I'm human. Just because I'm a minister, a man of God, I'm not wearing that Superman emblem on my chest. I'm not Superman. You're not Superwoman. You're human. And there are times we may not understand the plan that he has for us. All we got to do is, by faith, is trust it. But listen to these passages I am about to read to you. Lisa will post them for you. Look what Jeremiah 1:5 says. Oh, wonderful. These are wonderful. And it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nation. Again, that was for Jeremiah because he was appointing a prophet to the nation. But see, again, what does this say? God has a plan. Four words. Look what Psalms chapter 139, verse 13 through 14 says. Again, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. God has a plan. Look what Isaiah 44:24 says. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord, who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. God has a plan. Look what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says. Another great passage. For we, and that's meaning you and I, my friends, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a plan. Whew. So what does this tell you? What does this tell you? I hope you're catching on to it. Folks, God has a plan. And God knew us a long, long time ago. Long before we were created and born, we, you and I, were made to be set apart. We are approved by God. We were already accepted by Him before we were even created. You were accepted by God long before you were created. And you might say, well, wait a minute, Jim, what about those who don't know Jesus? Sadly, because of their rejections, they're going to suffer. But see, they themselves were even accepted by God, because God prefers all to be saved, but many don't. Many reject it. But God loves everybody, folks. We were already accepted before we were even created. And that's wonderful. We were thought of and created as His chosen instrument. Just as we are, He has approved, accepted, and created us just how He wants us to be. Let me repeat this again. You were approved, accepted, and created just how He wants you and I to be. Even with our flaws, even with our sins, even with our mistakes, He has accepted you, approved of you, and created you just as you are. That's love. We are His chosen instrument to be used for His purpose. We each have a calling, a purpose for our Lord, each one of us here tonight. Each one of you who's listening to this audio message, you have a calling for the Lord, believe it or not. Not only did God know us long and way before we were even born, He made each and every one of us just how we are with a purpose. Each of us has a purpose. Beth, Demetra, Lisa, Jim, each of you has a purpose in God's plan. You may not see it. You may not think about it. You may not say, well, I don't see where, you know, not with some of the things that I've done in the past. Folks, that's the past. The sin's forgiven. In the movie series we've been watching, I love how they portrayed Mary Magdalene. I really love how they put it together. Some folks say, well, that's not scriptural. You don't see that in the Bible. Well, we don't know everything about Jesus in the Bible neither, because Jesus had a ministry for over 3 years. We don't know his day-to-day activities. But anyway, I love it, you know, how Jesus was talking to Mary because Mary backslid. That's how they portrayed her. Some folks were upset because he did that, because they said, well, Jesus is enough. You shouldn't sin no more. Oh? Duh. If we shouldn't sin no more, then please send the people to me and tell me, hey, where am I going wrong? Now look, don't take me the wrong way. We are not to practice sin. The Bible's clear on that. We shouldn't be constantly practicing that sin over and over and over and over. If we keep asking God for forgiveness, but keep running back, asking for forgiveness, keep running back, asking for forgiveness, keep running back, asking for forgiveness, keep running back, then you're not really repenting. But if you are repenting, at times we will sin. And I like how Jesus is telling Mary in the scene, look, what, you expect not to sin after this? That was a good point. God made each of us for a purpose, even with our flaws. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. The problem is, and the phrase is often said in a way that assumes our circumstances will all make sense, be better, or result in perfect lives, with all that we dreamt it would be in the end. In other words, that we think, you know, we assume that in all circumstances, it's all going to make sense. It's going to be better. We're going to have perfect lives. We're going to have that perfect life that we dreamed of. I dream of it all the time. But you know the reality of this is? It doesn't. It doesn't. And the reason why I came to this conclusion was, as my wife endured suffering and pain, I was also hurting with her. Because to me, there was nothing I could do. Nothing. All I can do was pray to God and pray and pray and pray, and kept asking him, please, God, heal her, heal her, heal her, help her, help her, help her. And others I knew, including you who are here tonight, and those who may listen to this later on, I knew they were also praying the same thing for her, but she was still suffering and going through that pain, and it was agony. But one thing in all of this that me and her learned, one thing that we learned from this, God has several plans, but it all ties back to the grand plan of saving humanity from sin. It's important for you to realize that because of God's plans won't always look the way you think it should. You need to realize this, my friends. You need to realize this important thing. His plan may not look always the way you think it's going to be. Well, we can think of better ways that our lives should be, but does it be that way? No. No. And the hardest thing for many of us is not the ability to believe that God has a plan, but rather being able to trust in God's plan. Oh, I know how it is. Trust me, I know how it is. We read the Bible. We see all things that God has done for his people. We read all the promises. And we know that he's been faithful. But still, we doubt. I'm honest. I do doubt at times. I do. If I was standing in a church pew right now, I'd be looking at you. I'd probably call for a show of hands. How many of you still out there doubt? And don't act like you say, no, I don't, because I guarantee everybody does. They just won't admit it. I still doubt at times. And we doubt his ability to fulfill what he has promised that he would do. Many times, it's not that, hey, we don't believe what God says. It's not that. But that we doubt his willingness to keep his promise to us. We doubt that at times. We doubt his ability to make and execute a plan for us. Is that you, my sweet friends? Is that you? So I'm going to encourage you tonight. The next time that you find yourself doubting, do what I've been doing lately. Next time you've been doubting God's ability to carry out the plan he has for your life, I encourage you to meditate on these three things. Meditate on these three things whenever you have some doubts, or whenever you're facing difficulties, or whenever you're facing hardships, or whenever you make mistakes. Focus on these three things. Focus more often on four words. God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. Lord, I may not understand it, but you have a plan. But whenever you find yourself doubting his ability, focus on these three things. The first thing is, remember creation. That's right. Remember creation. See, he created the world perfectly. And that demonstrates God's ability to plan. This was a perfect world at the beginning. And you think, whoa, wait a minute, Jim, you might be wrong on that part. Hold on a minute. You're saying that he created everything perfect, which he did. But you might say, whoa, what about the devil? Look what he did. Look how he caused Adam and Eve to sin. But don't you think that he had a plan? See? God had a plan, folks. Everything was created in order, with each item building on the last. God did not create the plants until he had ensured that there was going to be light and water in abundance, because he knew living things would need substance to survive. Well, let me put it another way. He's God. That's it. He's God. He could have created things in any order. It didn't have to be in a specific order. He could have created things in any order he wanted to. And supernaturally, he could have sustained them until such times as the systems were in place. But he didn't. The God who spent so much energy and effort on creation spent the same amount of time and effort on you. That's right. He spent the time and effort on you. Why I say this? Look at the marvel of the human body. Look at your DNA strand just by itself. Wow. But look at other things that your body does. Don't you think he had a plan? Folks, he knows what he's doing. The second thing to meditate on whenever you start to doubt his ability to plan or have plans in your life, look what he does. He calls himself Father. One of the images that God uses to express his connection to humanity is of a loving parent. Repeatedly throughout scriptures, God reminds us of his heart for us. Throughout scripture, God reminds us of his heart for us. God has a plan. And the third thing to meditate on whenever you doubt those abilities, and I love this from my friends, God has invested into your future. Really? That's right. God has invested into your future. No other person has invested as much in your future as God has. He created you, sustains you, guides you, directs you, and loves you. He and his son made the greatest sacrifice anyone could make on your behalf. When you start to doubt that he has your best interests in mind, remember that he already gave up everything for you and he is still pursuing you no matter what. God never quits. God never quits on you. We are the one that quits on God. We got to quit blaming God for what happens to us because we're not the ones doing it. Yeah, that could be the fourth thing. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But you see where I'm going? Now, why do I know all these things? Why am I saying these things to you? Well, let's just take a look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. That sums it up right there. Look what it says. But God shows his love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to understand when I saw that passage. I struggled with this. I struggled with the pain that my wife was enduring. It was hard for me to say to myself, okay, God, you have a plan. It was hard for me to say, okay, God, you have a plan. And it still frightens me when I say that because I am unsure of the plans that's coming next, the unknown. Then I started telling myself, okay. God has a plan in all of this. God has a plan. It was not until I got into a place where I was able to look back at the struggles she and I faced in our walk with the Lord that I can see the plan God had been working to fulfill all along. When I look back, I know we're told not to look back, folks, but again, we got to be careful in looking back. But when I look back at all the struggles that we have endured, went through, the pain, the suffering, the good times, the bad times, the ups and downs, the sins, I kind of said, you know what? I see your plan all along. Lo and behold, you are with me. You have never forsaken me. And you will be with me to the very end. And yet while I make mistakes, while I may do wrong, your mercy is wonderful. Your plan is great. I can see the plan that God has been fulfilling all along. It brought me to another level. It's time to start showing folks how God loves them no matter what they are. That plan for us and me, here's what it boils down to. The plan for us that we need to see in God is to trust Him no matter what. You get this? The plan He has in your life is to trust Him no matter what, folks. Trust Him. Me and you who are close in these rooms, y'all know what I'm talking about. We shared many things. Many personal things. Many struggles, many battles. And I think all of us can come to an agreement, we need to trust Him no matter what. And rest in Him, knowing His plan is the best for us. His plan was the best for me. His plan was to help us see who He really is. And He is God. And the best thing in all of this was, you ready for this? The best thing in all of this that we have gone through, that God remains present throughout. God's always been there. God has never left us. The times that we felt like we were alone, the times we felt like He was not there, the time we felt like we had been abandoned, we were not. It was us that broke away from that. He's still there. He's always there and always will be and always will be pursuing you. You remember what I just said? He's not going to forsake you. He is always there for you, waiting. Child, come. Come. I'm here. I have a plan for you. Rest easy. And I'll take care of you. And this, with my wife's struggles and all the other struggles we've been through, and I'm sure you can relate, God has a plan for our lives, and the circumstances we find ourselves in cannot derail them. And one thing that we all need to learn from it, of all this, that God has a plan. Though it may not look the way we expect it to, all we can do is trust in His plans for us and take comfort. He is with us and not against us. We need to take comfort, folks. But He is with us and not against us, because if He's against us, we're in bad shape. Whoa. We're in bad shape. because of his plan, because of what we've been enduring, because me drawing closer to him even more in all of this, and all that's been going on since 2003. I don't know what date that you was born again, but that's how long it was when I surrendered. I can say this. And sometimes during difficult times, I don't want to say this. Do I say it as I should, as often as I should? No, I don't. But I need to work on that. But I can say this. It is well because my eyes are on you, God. My eyes are on you. Your plan is good because you are the plan. Your plan is good because you are the plan. Keep your eyes on him. Stay focused. Stay the course. Fight the good fight of faith and remain true to him. Even in the midst of our struggles, pains, hardships, and yes, even sins, stay the course. Stay the course. Have faith in him. Trust in his plan. Remember, God has a plan. Amen. Let's pray.